like to welcome you all to worship today at First Presbyterian Church. I'll call your attention to some announcements in the back of the bulletin. The beautiful flowers that we have today, given in honor of our church family, were contributed by the Blunt family. The youth is going to be helping with the youth ministry, or the lunch ministry, excuse me, May the 25th. And then they'll have an afternoon of fun together. And if you're interested in that, get in touch with Jackson. And Jackson also has one other announcement.
Good morning. You'll note in your bulletin that we'll be collecting a special offering after the church service for Katie Clark today. Katie has been selected to serve on summer staff with Sun Servants, and as you know, we at First Presbyterian have had a 3.5-decade relationship with Sun Servants. So this is a wonderful opportunity for Katie, and we are really excited that she's going to be serving in this capacity over the summer. So this summer, she will lead middle and high school students on mission trips in Jamaica, New Orleans, Chattanooga, West Virginia, and here in Danville. And Katie is required to raise the funds to cover her expenses for the summer. And this is where we, her church family, get to join in with her summer ministry by supporting her financially. The offering will follow the service today and it will help to cover the cost of her ministry with Sun Servants. And beyond giving financial support, I would also ask that you keep her in your daily prayers as she prepares to go and as she serves our Lord this summer. If you'd like to make out a check, checks can be made to First Presbyterian. Just in the memo note, please write Katie Clark, Summer Missionary. And we'll have folks at the Sutherland door and at the Main Street door following the service. Thank you so much.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. Let everything that has being praise the name of the Lord. Young men and women alike, old and young together, shall praise the name of the Lord. Join together in the first hymn, Amazing Grace, number 280.
Amen.
Hear God's word of assurance. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Behold, God's dwelling is with all people. God will dwell with them, and they shall be God's people. Behold, God makes all things new.
Thank you.
Let's pray for illumination before we hear our scripture. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is Acts 11, 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" But Peter began and explained to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. These six brethren also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angels standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, called Peter. And he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. turn to our gospel lesson, to the 13th chapter of John, beginning in the 31st verse. Hear once again the word of God. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I will give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The eloquent preacher Tom Long tells a story about a small church-related college that held an annual event called Christian Emphasis Week. It was the task of the Christian club on campus to invite a speaker who would come and lead a college revival. This particular year, they had invited a preacher who had come highly recommended. They were told of his dynamism and his unique way of communicating the gospel. The first night of the revival, the chapel was filled with the faithful. There were no Animal House-type fraternity characters in attendance, just the faithful. The speaker began the service the way most preachers do, by reading a passage from Scripture. But when he finished reading, he did something which shocked the audience. He closed the Bible, threw it across the stage and out an open window, and said, "There goes your God." Then he proceeded to preach a sermon on the difference between worshiping the Bible and worshiping the God of the Bible. Imagine the surprise of those students when their preacher turned their bibliolatrist religion upside down. Now, I'm sure the circumcised believers were no less surprised when Peter threw their understanding of the law out the window. Peter's adversaries stated that the law was the only way to be saved. Peter responded, "I used to believe that way too, until God took hold of me and showed me that his love was not limited to a set of rules or laws," the story that Bunny read to us this morning. Peter continued with a compelling testimony of how God had stretched his boundaries, had thrown out his understanding of what was clean and not clean, how God had dissolved his preconceived notions about who could be saved. What's more is that God only revealed this radical truth to Peter not only through a vision, but God wanted Peter to experience the reality. So God created this opportunity for Peter to experience the boundless love of God. Peter became a vessel of the Holy Spirit and a household of Gentiles, and they became converted. And after sharing this incredible story, I suspect Peter was preparing to run for the hills to avoid being stoned to death. But he didn't have to. After Peter's compelling testimony, the critics were speechless. They had a change of heart. They all agreed that God's saving love and power is intended for the Gentiles, or was intended for the Gentiles, as well as God's chosen people. And thanks be to God that he did, or we would not be here. Imagine Jesus had wished it to be easy to convince people of God's boundless love. But unfortunately, Jesus was unable to avoid the wrath of those that felt that they and they alone were the exclusive recipients of God's love. It all began when Jesus began his earthly ministry, when Jesus returned to his hometown in Nazareth, when Jesus opened up the scriptures and read those liberating words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We read that passage earlier this year. And the crowd was proud of him until he began to explain the implications of Isaiah's words fulfilled in him. They were proud until he threw out their nostalgic understanding of the scriptures and threw it right out the window. He told them that he was the manifestation of God's radical love to all. The outsiders, the poor, the least, the last, the lost, and even those not part of the in crowd. Jesus told them that he had come to challenge their privileged theology, to erase any lines of distinction. And what did they respond by doing? There in the hometown, they drove him out of the synagogue and attempted to throw him off a cliff. This atmosphere of anger toward outsiders still exists today. Everyone has their Gentile. Everyone discriminates and draws lines of self-righteous distinction. You would think by now our world would have moved past such archaic and cruel ways of thinking. After all those years of singing red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Racism still runs rampant, and hate crimes are on the rise. And as outrageous as it may seem, some extremist groups discriminate in the name of God and in the name of the Holy Scriptures. People continue to make distinctions between who do and those who do not count. Lest we become too self-righteous, we need to take a scalpel to our own hearts. Think of a person you cannot stand to be around. If you are poor, maybe it's the rich person who drives down the road in a shiny sports car. If you are rich, maybe it's the unrefined person who drives a clunker with the radio blaring. Perhaps it is the sloppy neighbor down the street who never cleans up his or her yard. Perhaps it's the eccentric coworker whom everyone loves to ridicule. Maybe it's the foreigner who cannot speak very good English. Maybe it's the teenager who has tattoos and piercings all over their body. Think of that person and try to feel your irritation when you're around that kind of person. Now, as you have them in your mind, hear the words of our Lord. I choose to give to them the same as I gave to you. Are you envious because I am generous? How does that make you feel? Like telling Jesus to go jump off a cliff, perhaps? Like telling Jesus he's crazy? Well, you're not alone. In fact, you are in a lot of good company. The Bible is filled with people who thought the Lord was crazy. What Jesus commanded Peter to do in Joppa, our Lord now commands us to do in Danville. God commands us to erase any lines of negative distinction between human beings, to destroy our exclusive boundaries and barriers which we have helped to maintain. God commands us to turn our institutions, our ideas, and our paradigms upside down and inside out by reminding our world that every human being, red and yellow, black and white, is a child of God. For when we are cut, do we not all bleed the same? There's a wonderful Christian contemporary Christian piece that plays on the radio. We all bleed the same. When we are tickled, we all laugh the same. And when we are hurt, we all cry the same tears. We are all God's children. Years ago, a newspaper carried a story of a reporter who was covering the war in Sarajevo. And the reporter noticed a little girl walking slowly in front of him, and he was surprised to discover that she had been severely wounded by sniper fire. Before the reporter could react, a man rushed over, scooped up the little girl, and pleaded with the reporter to drive him to the hospital. And without hesitating, they loaded her into the back seat and took off for medical help. After a minute or two, the man said urgently, "Please hurry, she is dying." And the reporter drove faster. A few minutes later, the man in the back seat said, "Hurry, please, my little girl is still breathing." The reporter sped on. A minute or two later, the man said, "Hurry, please, my little girl is still warm." Soon they pulled up to the hospital, but it was too late. The little girl had died in the man's arms. And the man and the reporter walked somberly to the restroom to wash the little girl's blood from their hands. And as they were washing, the man said, "Well, now comes the hardest part." "What is that?" asked the reporter. The man said, "Now I have to go find the little girl's father and tell them she is gone." And the reporter was stunned and said, "But I thought you were the father. I thought she was your child." And the man replied, "Aren't they all our children? Aren't they? Aren't we all God's children?" God never intends God's boundaries to be less than the whole world. Therefore, none of us have a monopoly on God's love. We may feel like we do when we look down on someone different than we are, or when we snicker at somebody's misfortune, or when we say, "Well, thank you, Lord, that I am not like one of them," or when we say, "Well, it's too bad they don't believe as we believe." But woe be unto us whenever we reek of such arrogance. For when we try to restrict God's grace to ourselves, we cut ourselves off from that very grace. What's love got to do with it? Everything. We are to love one another. There are many things that we separate ourselves, or many ways that we separate ourselves from other human beings. There are many things that make us different from each other, but there is one rule about how we are to treat others. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, I don't know who wrote the following, but I have always thought it an accurate description of how we are to treat each other. The world says no, Jesus says yes. The world says not yet, Jesus says right now. The world says shorter, Jesus says longer. The world says narrower, Jesus says wider. The world says smaller, Jesus says bigger. The world says shallower, Jesus says deeper. The world says punish, Jesus says mercy. The world says hate, Jesus says love. The world says just a few, Jesus says everyone. The world says threaten him, Jesus said that won't stop me. The world says arrest him, Jesus says that won't stop me. The world says ridicule him, Jesus said that won't stop me. The world says wound him, and Jesus said that won't stop me. The world says crucify him, Jesus says that won't stop me. The world says shut him up in a tomb, Jesus says that won't stop me. Jesus is relentlessly in love with the world, and thank God for such love. Where would we be without such love? If the truth be known, all of us, to one degree or another, have at one time been on the outside, where we were cold and lonely and yearning for Christ to pull us inside and wrap his warm arms around us. And would you believe, and we proclaim as we join at this table, there is room enough in his arms for everyone. There is room. There is plenty of room. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found in your aids to worship. Let us profess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. We come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at this table laid before us by our Lord and Savior. And so we invite all those who trust in Jesus Christ to join with us as we partake in this Holy Supper. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. We lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. With the majesty of your hand, you shaped this world and all that is in it. By your Holy Spirit, you breathed life into human form and set us on earth to praise and serve you. When we wandered from your ways and were lost to sin's wilderness, your truth burned in the hearts of the prophets who called your people to return to the path of righteousness. In the fullness of the time, you sent your Son to be our deliverer. In every age, your Holy Spirit has led us in your ways. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the faithful of every time and every place who feast at the table of your grace forever, singing to the glory of your holy name, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. At his baptism by John, your Spirit came with gentle wings, settling on your blessing. In the wilderness of temptation, your Spirit stood by with power. In his life and ministry, your Spirit led him to serve the poor, proclaim freedom from sin, bondage, open eyes with faith's sight, and befriend the friendless and outcast. In all he did and said, he announced the coming of your saving might. In his death on the cross and rising from the tomb, he broke the power of death and led the way to eternal life. Ascended to rule from on high, Christ prays for us and promises the coming peace of peace and power. We give you thanks, O Lord, that on the night before he died, Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Remembering your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread, and when we drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and thanks be. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and the fruit of the vine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Holy Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all those who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every time and place, and that this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. One of the ways we do that, O Lord, is by lifting up those in prayer, both those on our list here and those we hold in our hearts. We lift up to you by name Brian and Claudine, Ruth, Amy, Diane, and Fred. Hear our prayers for Helen, for Lisa, for Laura, for Beth and Bill, for Friel, for Martha, for George and John. Hear our prayers for Ella, Andrea, Deborah. For our PNC, Lord, help and guide them to just the right person to be the next called pastor. For all of our service personnel and our first responders who protect our freedoms and keep us safe, help keep them safe as well. Be with those in areas of turmoil throughout the world, in Togo and other places. Bring about peace and your love where there is only violence and destruction. We give you thanks that Mary Lou is doing much better. And we ask, O Lord, that by the fire of your Spirit, forge us into one church, many and different people, but together in Christ's embrace. Set our hearts aflame with the love for truth and the desire to do your will, that our witness to Christ may burn brightly in the lives of joyful disciples, and keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, and you bind us together as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the deacons please come forward for the morning offering? Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and for the opportunity to give of our tithes and offerings, to respond to the love that you have shown us with generosity and a kindness of heart. Use what we have given, Lord, to be a blessing for this community, this church, and also the world. In all that we do, help us show your love as you have shown us love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And one final announcement that I neglected to make beforehand. We are going to have a called session meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday, to deal with some matters that have come up. So 7 o'clock for session members tomorrow night. Our last hymn is number 447, Lead On, O King Eternal.